Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Please turn your Bibles to 1 Peter, chapter 1, starting in verse 22, as we continue our study in 1 Peter, starting in chapter 1. Last week we read of Peter's admonitions as to how to live as strangers in this world and as God's elect, chosen people by God. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1, under the power of the Holy Spirit, starting in verse 16, "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Amen. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" Amen. And then he wrote, "Live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear, for you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you." We are redeemed people. This is awesome. And I love the way Peter just is really pounding this home to what we called in the earlier messages the diaspora. He's speaking to all the Jews that are scattered all throughout Asia in his time, which is now the nation of Turkey in that general area. And they're a little discouraged. So he's trying to write them this great letter of encouragement. He speaks earlier there about how we are not redeemed with gold or silver or with any other earthly treasures, but with the precious blood of Christ Jesus. Peter seemed to like that word precious. He uses it a lot. Peter continues now with more advice on how we are to respond to such great news. So let us pray, and then we'll continue reading in 1 Peter. So Larry, would you pray over the Word of God today, please?
Lord, our God, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege of having your word before us freely. Study. Thank you for the message that you've given Randy. Thank you that the Holy Spirit helped him find out the words to say. Have the Holy Spirit fall upon him now. And have your words be come out of Randy's mouth. Help that your word will fall upon our ears, that we may hear what you have for us to hear. We ask this in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I just found it. His letter is just so full. So we start in verse 22. "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God." The living and enduring Word of God. "For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall. But the word of the Lord stands forever." This is a fascinating little bunch of God's Word. "You have purified yourself by obeying the truth." What does that mean to us? Well, what the Word is saying here is that those who heard the gospel, they heard the good news that Jesus is the Christ, they believed it. And that is evidenced by their obedience to this truth, which calls all to believe in Jesus Christ as their Redeemer, sent by God the Father, to create a new and living way to be in a right standing with God the Father. They now approach God the Father with faith in Jesus Christ as the one who God chose to pay mankind's sin debt and open the way to God. No longer now does God desire the blood of bulls and goats, or obedience to circumcision, or dietary laws, for his image bearers then to be righteous before him. This has got to be a huge shift. Think about this. Wow. And the evidence that one is purified by obedience to the truth, which is the gospel, the truth here is the gospel, that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior, is that you sincerely and honestly love your brothers. That's the evidence. Matthew Henry wrote, "The truth is effectual to purify the soul if it be obeyed. Many hear the truth, but are never purified by it because they will not submit to it nor obey it. Fascinating. Many people hear it, but they won't repent, they won't believe, and so they're not purified. This purification by obedience to the truth is an inward cleansing of the heart from all that defiles it, from sensual desires, from hypocrisy, and from selfishness. It's just a short list from the pulpit commentary. And this is what Jesus has commanded his followers, if you recall. John 13. Please turn to John 13. I've done messages on just these two verses. 34 through 35. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So Peter sees that the scattered believers love one another. And now he is telling them that since you have a sincere love for one another, now he's saying love one another deeply, fervently, with intention, with a pure heart. The sincere love of the brethren is expressed by the Greek word philadelphia. We know that word. We talked about it in the past. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. That's a brotherly love in the Greek. Now Peter's calling the believers of the elect to love with a deeper love. Expressed then in the next word that he used was agapao, which is like agape love, same root, meaning a very deep, a very dear, a very unconditional kind of love, much deeper than just brotherly love. We've talked several times about the difference in the Greek words for love. And here we see Peter, I found this fascinating, he's complimenting them on their beloved brotherly love, and now he's calling them to move into a deeper love, an unconditional love, a love that calls us to lay down our lives for one another, to set aside our egos, to set aside our own desires, so as to love one another even more than we love our own selves. And as we know the Gospels, this is what Jesus was saying, and that's what we just read in John 15. And why love each other so deeply from the heart? Well, verse 23 tells us, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. See, we can't love without agapao love, without the Holy Spirit. We could do the brotherly love peace out of our flesh. We can't do that deep love. But now we've been born again. The believers here, including all of us here, have been born not of Abraham's seed, which is perishable, not of Adam's seed, the original. The meaning here is that the seed of which we are all first born is from perishable seed, seed that decays, seed that is corruptible. And it was important to the Jews at that time, and still is, that they are born of Abraham. They consider themselves right with God by virtue of that bloodline. We see that throughout all the New Testament. And in John 8, 37 and 38, Jesus speaks to the Jews about being Abraham's descendants. So let's turn over, if you're over to John, from if you were 15, turn over to 8, 37, and let's read what Jesus says. There's a lot in here. The Lord had me just shorten it. So we're going to get right to the meat. Verse 7, 37, this is Jesus saying, I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you're ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father. He's telling them, Jesus is, that what he has seen and what he's saying comes from the Father's presence. But the Jews do what they've heard from their earthly father, meaning a father who was born of Adam. And they want to kill him. In John 1:13, this earthly birth is described as being born of natural descent, born of a human decision. But then John points to the fact that those who believe in Jesus' name, he gave the right to become children of God. Meaning born of God. I love that verse. We have the right to become children of God by believing in Christ as our Savior. And it is in John 3, Of course, where Jesus tells Nicodemus that he must be born again to see the kingdom. And what born again means is to be born from above. Divine. No longer from perishable seed, but from imperishable seed. Our first birth is from that perishable, corruptible seed. And when we are born again, we are born from imperishable, incorruptible seed through the Word of God. I thought that was fascinating because it says right there, through the Word of God. Again from Matthew Henry, by the one, we become children of men. By the other, the sons and daughters of the Most High. And he said, the Holy Spirit of God is, in the deepest sense, this is actually from the pulpit commentary, the Holy Spirit of God is, in the deepest sense, the seed of new birth. And the Word is the instrument. God's elect are born again through the Word preached, the Word heard, read, and pronounced. And we can see that if we look to Acts chapter 2, which you don't have to turn there, but we know the story, verses 36 through 41, where Peter, we read that Peter told the Jews in Jerusalem on the very day of Pentecost that Jesus, whom you crucifies, he's got that right there, so they know who he's speaking of, is both Lord and Christ. Christ, Greek word for the promised Messiah. And he told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. What's the sin? Not believing in Christ. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. How'd they get there? His preaching the Word. The Word preached derives its power from him who is the Word of God. And we know that from John. That's Jesus. Jesus is the Word. The Word is eternal, just as Jesus Christ is eternal. It is living. It is enduring. We read in Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living and active. I know that to be true. As I read it sometimes, I've read this many, 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 many times, and all of a sudden it hits me in another way. It's so living and active. And then Peter decides to give us a little analogy here by the Spirit. He says, write this down. Help us understand. So we go back to 1 Peter. And he says in verse 24, for all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. So he paints this really beautiful picture. And he says, but the grass withers. The grass withers and the flowers fall. But the word of the Lord stands forever. The grass withers and the flowers fall, just as all mankind. But the word of God, the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that Peter is preaching to the believers and to us. And this is the same word we now preach to others, so that they may hear the good news, receive the Holy Spirit, and by that Spirit be born from above and obey the word. And Peter says here, this is fascinating to me. Peter says here, to obey means to love one another as brothers and sisters. In Christ, we've talked about that in the past, it's especially those in Christ we must pay special attention to, but to even love deeper, more fervently than simply as brothers and sisters, but to love one another more than we love ourselves. And it means to put others' desires and needs above our own. One could say to be servants to one another. Now, in our culture, we don't like to be servants. We don't like to serve. But if you're a follower of Christ, you love to serve because you feel the wonderful joy in being Christ-like to someone. We do that with each other. And we know that Jesus said to love God and to love one another fills all the law and all the prophets. Takes care of everything. And Peter continues now with advice in chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. I have this bracketed in my Bible. This is great advice as to how to live. As a believer in Christ, as one set apart by God for God's purposes. That's what it means to be holy. Set apart. Therefore, it starts. And the meaning is, in view of all that we have just read, let us do these things. Let us rid ourselves of all malice and all deceit. To rid ourselves means to cast it off, as one would cast off old, filthy clothing. We are no longer to practice these things any more than we would put on all those filthy rags again. Throw them off. So I want to go through what these things mean so we understand it. Malice is generally thought as wickedness. And even in current day, maybe a desire to cause harm to others without any reason for it, more for the mere personal enjoyment of harming another. You've known people like that. So have I. Stay away from them. Or just from a spirit of revenge. But the Greek, as I read about it, is actually even more inclusive than that. It means all kinds of evil and depravity. It's not a word we use much, but it is deep with wickedness. Deceit is lying. Fraudulent behavior. People who fraud you out of your money or out of your trust. Hypocrisy is pretending to be someone you're not. Hypocrites in those days were called, that was what they called actors. It's often used to express someone who appears to be a person of faith but is not. The other place is you have the face mask on and you're pretending to be somebody that you're not. But in this case, it's a person of faith, or claims to be, but they're not. It even speaks to cloaking one's wicked intentions with the appearance of piety, with the very intention of deceiving, the very intention of taking advantage. Envy is the hatred of others because of what they have and we do not and we wish we did. Think about that. It is anger of someone's prosperity with a degree of hatred for them and a desire to see that person actually come into hard times and come into ruin. That's the envy we are talking about. Slander of every kind here speaks of people who give hints of evil about others. You know, whispering in the back room. Often under a cloak of secrecy, like, I gotta tell you a secret. Don't tell anybody. Knowing full well that it will be divulged. And with the intent of bringing great harm and pain to someone else. These are the things he's saying, let us get rid of these things. Throw off those rags of maliciousness and put on the robe of righteousness so graciously given to all who believe and who are born again. For we are now children of God. Children of the divine nature. And not of the fallen nature of Adam. And then in light of all this, crave spiritual milk like newborn babies. Being born again, being born above, we crave the sincere milk of the Word, the heavenly nourishment, as a newly born child of God. Here, the Greek word here is adelon, and it means that which is without deceit or lies, but is unadulterated, pure, genuine. So that would mean by the pure word. Not something that's been messed around with by mankind, but the pure word. And the Greek adjective rendered of the word is logikon, and it means rational. Logikon, it means logical, reasonable. And as it is connected here with milk, it means that which is adapted to sustain the soul. So I read this, it was interesting. First, let me say, let us crave this pure, uncorrupted spiritual milk, so that through it we may grow in our salvation. Now that we have tasted that the Lord is good. Matthew Henry wrote, the word of God rightly used does not leave a man or a woman as it finds him or her, but improves and makes that person better. And Barnes wrote, if we have a love for the simple and pure truths of the gospel, it furnishes evidence of conversion. So think about that. Peter was saying, I know because you love one another. He's saying, if you love The simple and pure truths of the good news of the gospel of God's word, it furnishes evidence of conversion. It is evidence that we have a spiritual life, just as the desire of appropriate nourishment is evident that an infant has natural life. You see, the infant is crying and wants food. It is evidence that that infant is alive and needs nourishment. The newborn soul loves the truth. It is nourished by it, and it perishes without it. The gospel is just what that soul wants, and without it, it could not live. Think about that. I've often said I feel compelled to read the word every single morning, as it has become like oxygen to me. I cannot live without oxygen. If I have to get up to an early meeting, got to be there by 8, I have to get up extra early, because I got to get in the word first. I'm not going out there without oxygen. Remember what Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. It is the bread of life. This is the sense that Peter is giving to the believers and to us. We are nourished by the word, and we perish without it. Now that we have all tasted the goodness of God, let us crave it all the more. Now that we have enjoyed the favor of God, let us desire more of it. Now that we are born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, and by the Spirit we are able to obey the commands of Christ to love one another, let us fervently love one another. Philippians 2, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider yourselves, do not consider yourselves better than you. I'm sorry, I'm not reading it right. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Can we do that? Consider others better than ourselves. Now, in our society, you probably be labeled by having insecurity complex. You know what? That's okay. Let us consider others better than ourselves. It continues, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but the interests of others. Philippians 2:3. We are redeemed people. Let us live as strangers in this world, but chosen by God and redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. As our friend Peter says, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Let us live as newborn persons, born of God, God's children, because that's who we are. 1 John 3:1-2. Because that's who we are. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, we thank you so much that you show us in your word we are redeemed. We are born again. And it's proven because we love each other. And now you call us to love each other more deeply, just as Peter was calling the diaspora, the spread about scattered peoples, love each other even more. We're doing that, and we thank you for that, because we know we can't do that without you. Without your Spirit dwelling in us, we would never have the ability to have that agapeo love for one another. But we see it here, and we're grateful. And so I pray, Lord, as we study this and read this, let it be sunk deep into our hearts so that we know it to be true, and we will not stray from this. It's actually simple. It's just not easy. It's simple. Love one another more than you love yourself. And love God above all else. All your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Simple. But not easy. So help us by your Spirit that we can do this and walk with you through whatever comes. Hear our prayers. Amen. Hallelujah.